Villains in the movies are usually pretty easy to identify, thanks to their all-black outfits, masks, or even flying monkeys that work for them. But villains in the financial world aren't always so easy to identify. This week on the podcast, we're going to talk about some financial planning and movie villains with Sean Lee.
Let us help you reach your peak in retirement. It's time for Retirement Elevated with Sean Lee.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. This is Retirement Elevated with Sean Lee and myself to talk investing, finance, and retirement, and have a little fun here with some financial lessons and movie villain tie-ins with Sean. Why not? We'll have a little fun with this, and just it's always interesting to take financial concepts into different areas, and sometimes maybe it sparks a useful interest or two in your brain and something you're thinking about when it comes to your retirement. What's going on, my friend? How you doing this week?
I'm doing well, man. We're actually not going to talk about sports this time. We're going to talk about something different.
I know the editors are like, yay, something different.
You mean we can't talk about baseball?
All the time. Although I guess I guess with movies, I could have went with some sort of a movie reference with baseball, but we didn't do that. So
My son, we're talking movies and baseball. My son, we had his baseball practice last night, and he took a ball, foul ball, right off his eyeball.
Ouch!
And so his eye's all swollen this morning.
Oh!
And I texted my wife. I was like, "Hey, let's go ahead and thaw out some steak, and let's just slap it on his face like that scene from The Sandlot where the kid can't catch the ball."
There you go. There you go.
She's like, I'm not wasting good steak on that. So
nice nowadays with inflation, right? I don't blame her. We'll bring that financial thing back into it, right?
Exactly.
What a great movie, though, right?
The
Sandlot. Yeah, very good, very good. Well, we won't go as fun. I guess what was it? What did they call that dog? The Beast? Was that what he was in the Sandlot?
The Beast.
Yeah. So he was kind of the villain until they realized that he was not. So, but let's have a little fun with this here. We're gonna start with a classic baddie. In the movie world, Darth Vader from Star Wars. Can't get much scarier than this guy. I think I was 7 when the original movie came out, and I thought, this dude is intimidating, right? All black, and the way the breathing and the voice and everything. And I know at some point over the course of the movies, he was he also had a good side at some point, but for the most part, right, he was really all about kind of that kind of that darkness, right, if you will. And so whether you saw him as good or bad or whatever the case might be over his story arc, what's some financial things there, Sean, that might be kind of similar, right? Where we kind of see that Darth Vader element where it's forces of good or bad, depending on how you use it.
Yeah, he wasn't. He was scary, but he wasn't scary until he took his mask off.
Well, that's true that he was. Yeah, because he
took his mask off in the movie. His face is all messed up.
Yeah, very true.
But if you look at it in the financial world. You just mentioned it. We're talking about the steak on my son's face, but inflation is one of those dark, scary things that we don't always necessarily think about.
Well, we forget about it a lot of times until it shows up, right?
Well, and it shows up with vengeance. It's not just
big time.
previous 10 years, have we really had a ton of inflation? Yeah, not really.
Right.
Until we hit 2022 when the Fed had to raise rates and they did it super aggressively. And they did that because they were trying to curb inflation, which was just astronomical. I think the numbers in 2022, if I remember right, were like 8.3% inflation for the year. Which, if your income need increases by almost 10% in any given year, that's a pretty tough pill to swallow for anybody, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You look at that, and I get questions all the time. Hey, Sean, how are we going to account for inflation? Well, since I started planning in 2002, we've always accounted for inflation in our plans. We've always, now we've changed the numbers. We've maybe had 2% inflation or 3% inflation or whatever it may be. But that's one of those dark issues that people don't always think about. But when it can come with vengeance, and it can have a negative effect on your plan.
Yeah, very true. And I was kind of thinking about that too as well, right? Because if you're thinking about interest rates in general, obviously they cause the inflation, but depending on what you're doing, right? Some people, hey, the higher interest rates, better for savers, not so good for borrowers, right? So kind of a good and bad kind of split on that as well. So kind of depending on how you view it, how you're trying to use it. All right, let's go to another classic all-time baddie. This time we'll go with the Wizard of Oz and, of course, the Wicked Witch of the West, right? You got the first of all, the music always has stuck in my head ever since I was a kid. And you kind of see her, you see her when she's pedaling on the bike or, you know, and the flying monkey. Come on, seriously. Like, the flying monkey scared everybody. I don't know anybody that those, because there was just that weird, especially being in the 30s, right? The technology for making those suits wasn't that great. They just kind of looked really creepy. Especially the faces on those things. So, but anyway, in the movie, she's obsessed, obviously, with ruby slippers. So obsession, right? Overly fixating on something specific, got to be an easy target or a bad, you know, bad habit to do in the financial world.
Yeah, that could go a number of ways. I mean, people get fixated on one issue, or they get fixated on, you know, one particular product or service or investment account,
or even rates of return. Right? Well, I'm fixated on getting the most. You know, which everybody we want more, but is that the best viewpoint?
Right. I mean, everybody wants to get the highest return.
Sure.
Right? Like, let's get the best that we can. And you know, when we're fixated on that, and I had a meeting just yesterday where I was chatting with a gentleman, and he's always got, you know, he's always done the things on his own. He's always, you know, he's used his his 401k that he had available. He was very strategic in where he invested his funds. And then he started a withdrawal strategy where it was pretty aggressive coming out of his retirement plan.
Right.
But the whole goal in our discussions was like, hey, I need to get the best return in order to make my plan successful. When the reality of it is, you know, the level of risk that he was taking to get the return was not equal to the returns that he was getting. So his risk adjusted returns were, you know, the level of risk you're taking should equal the expected return, was actually negative for him. But that wasn't even the biggest thing. When we started to talk about how to create cash flow, it was like, hey, I'm just gonna pull it out of my 401k. I'm just gonna create income that way. It's cheap. I don't know that I need an advisor, and that's fine. But cheap doesn't always mean better.
True.
And when you pay fees are a function of value. So just by shifting a mindset and saying, hey, here's how the three ways that you can create income, whether it's protected money, market-based money, or a combination. And if you start to focus on segmenting your assets, you can have a much larger effect on your portfolio than if I'm just pulling it out of one pot. And the light bulb went off and he's like, I don't need to be just fixated on returns. If I build a plan, now I can have assets and I can leave some money in my 401k that can be exposed to high levels of growth, but it's not going to affect my income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how it works when we segment your dollars.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sometimes it's good when that light bulb finally happens, right? The light bulb moment goes off. You're like, oh, okay, I get it now. And that's great.
Exactly.
That's great. All right, let's do one more here and then we'll wrap it up for this week's podcast, Sean. We'll go with Rocky IV. Ivan Drago, played by Dolph Lundgren, right? It's a big, big, huge dude. And of course, you know, the movie concept, well, there's so many classic lines from the Rocky movies, but the movie concept, right? Clearly, like, the idea was that he was very cold, almost like he was built in a lab, right? Because he was always in the training facility working on this high tech stuff when he's, you know, showing how fit he is versus Rocky, you know, pulling rocks and running through the snow to get in, you know, in shape and things of that nature. So if you're thinking about that kind of cold analytic part, where do we find the Drago of the financial world?
Right. If he dies, he dies.
If he dies.
So, I mean, Drago's, you know, talking about being built in a lab.
Right.
And just following structure and rigidness of planning. And this is all that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to use big names by name because I think our compliance officer
would not be happy.
Compliance
officer
would get upset.
Right.
But there are those big firms out there that, you know, this is our process. This is what we have available, and everybody fits in there.
Yeah, let's web you into this product because, well, everybody's a nail because all we have is a hammer kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have one or two models, and this is, you want to be invested in the market? Well, this is our way, and this is how we do it. And there are some firms that have been pretty successful at that. But it's not right for everybody.
Right. And you're just a number. Do you want to be a number in a massive machine, or do you want to have some more personalized responses? I don't know. I feel like this industry, Sean, like having someone who gets me and knows my family and things of that nature versus just let me look up, almost like a doctor, right? You go and they quickly look through your chart and kind of feel like, and it kind of act like they know you, but you know, they've seen a ton of people. They don't remember who you are.
Well, and that could go the other way too. Like I'm part of this MD VIP
uh-huh.
the concierge doctor. So I go in once a year and I get 3 hours with him.
Wow.
I get three hours with his physician's assistant. Mm-hmm. They take all my blood, you know, they check all my vitals, they check my cognitive, you know, abilities, and it's a full blown like half a day physical.
That's fairly intensive.
And that's what, you know, from my perspective, I've got a lot of people that rely on me. I want my family to know that I'm healthy and I'm going to be around. Mm-hmm. And that's well worth it for us. But when you see that everybody's, you know, kind of this cookie cutter approach, you know, that doesn't work for me specifically from the doctor perspective. And there was a lot of fear when we come back around to finance years ago about robo-advisors. Oh, robo-advisors are going to take over the world.
Yeah, well, they're going to take. Yeah, you're going to be out of a job. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're cheap. They're more cost-effective. Cool. But it's robotic. It's not like there's thought or planning or uniqueness put into the robo-advisor world. Mm-hmm. It's just algorithmic.
Yeah, and they're usually not going to take into account like the holistic plan of everything that you need either, right? I mean, I could be wrong, but I think most of the times these robo-advisors are kind of very limited in their scope versus looking at, you know, the 7, 8, 9, 10 different things are going to truly make up a complete financial strategy.
Right.
So, right. Yeah, interesting, right? So with more tech, and we're seeing this all the time in our world right now, Sean, I mean, now we got the AI thing to deal with too, right? Getting even more. With more tech, it's kind of cool at sometimes, but it's also not, you know, it's like, be careful. Like anything, I think we got to have proper balance.
Well, there's got to be a human touch, I think, when it comes to planning. Technology is way cool.
Sure.
AI is super cool, but there's still no uniqueness when it comes to planning when you involve computers.
You know, I was just talking with somebody who went out to, we'll wrap it up here. I went out to Phoenix for something and they got picked up by this Waymo. Have you seen this Waymo vehicles? They're owned by Uber and Google in a partnership, and they're completely like a completely driverless vehicle, right?
Yeah, that's creepy, man.
It's kind of like a bubble. Yeah, the car is not like a normal car. Like it, I don't know. It's very strange. And it made me, I haven't seen it, but it made me think of, since we're talking about movies, the original Total Recall movie where he gets into the cab and it's like this little robot guy turns around and he's kind of plasticky and he says, "Where would you like me to take you?" And if you don't say it right, he can't understand. But I'm like, I just don't know that I'm ready. I don't, you know, it's like, first of all, when we were growing up, I mean, I'm 52 years old. And when I was growing up, I kept hearing that I was going to have a flying car by the time I got to where I could drive. Still don't have a flying car.
Right.
So I don't know that I want a driverless car, let alone a flying car. So I'm like, I kind of like driving myself. So I think sometimes we still want to have that balance, right? Some of the technology in your car that helps you, some of the GPS stuff, some of the lane assist stuff, some of that stuff's pretty cool. But totally taken over, I don't know how I feel about that. So I think I feel the same way financially. It's like I still want to have a human that I can talk to. I can call up and say, "Sean, my daughter wants to get married in Mexico, and that was unexpected. Help me out. What do we do? How do we plan for that?"
Driver at the wheel.
Yeah, there you go. I like that, driver at the wheel. Well, there you go, folks. So thanks for hanging out with us as we talk movie villains and financial planning and just trying to extract a few things from different parts of our world that we go into. And hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. And if so, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple or Spotify or YouTube platforms. You can find us on all of those by simply going to Sean's main website, which you can also get into contact with him and the team at ElevateMyRetirement.com. That's ElevateMyRetirement.com. And hit that subscribe button on whatever podcasting platform app you like. And we'll see you next time here on Retirement Elevated with Sean Lee.
Investment advisory services offered through Elevated Capital Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.